Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
This is Healthy Children, brought to you by the American Academy of Pediatrics on RadioMD.com. Here's Melanie Cole, MS.
If your child plays sports, if you have children in sports, then you certainly have heard in the media a lot of information about concussion. You may be, as a parent, worried about it. What are the symptoms of it? When does your child get to go back to play? Do you have them stay home from school? Can they play video games? These are all questions that we all hear all the time, and they'll be answered today by my guest is Dr. Cynthia Labella. She's the medical director of the Institute for Sports Medicine at the Ann and Robert H. Lurie Children's Hospital of Chicago. She's also associate professor of pediatrics at Northwestern University's Feinberg School of Medicine. Welcome to the show, Dr. Labella. So concussion, we hear so much about it now. It's become more of a, you know, something that we're learning about. Tell us, first of all, the main causes and the sports that you think are the main contact sports we could be concerned about, and how do we spot a concussion in our children?
Sure. Thank you, Melanie, for that nice introduction. I can talk about concussion mechanisms, but first, to be clear, concussions can really happen in any sport. And in my clinic, we see children and teens who get concussions, not just playing sports, but in recreational activities and even non-sports or non-physical activities. So concussion is something that really affects the whole population. And, you know, certainly there are sports that involve more contact. So those contact sports are the ones that tend to be higher risk, but certainly we see concussions in all sports. And a concussion can happen in one of two ways. Either you receive a direct trauma or a direct blow to your head, which causes the brain to move quickly back and forth within the skull, or you can receive a blow or a trauma to your body that jolts the head enough to cause the brain to move back and forth quickly within the skull. Both of those mechanisms can cause a concussion.
So if our children are in a contact sport, first question, and we have a lot to get through, and these are short segments, but what about the equipment? Should we as parents trust the equipment, football, helmets, hockey, helmets, any of these kinds of things to protect our children?
Well, helmets aren't designed to prevent concussions. Helmets are designed to prevent skull fractures. The helmet is not going to, some helmets may slow the way the brain moves within the skull, but the helmet is not going to prevent a concussion. So the focus should really be on not so much on the equipment, but the rules of the game and making sure that kids are following the rules and that the officials are calling the penalties and enforcing the rules properly. Sure, certainly the equipment should fit well and be well maintained, because there's value in the equipment, but parents and kids should not rely on the equipment to prevent a concussion.
That's great advice, because I think too many of us think, oh, that's not going to happen to my child because they've got the, you know, highest tech helmet and whatever. So now symptoms of concussion, Dr. Labella, do we as parents, we're sitting on the sideline, we see our kid go down, we see something happen, we don't want to run on the field and be that parent. But what symptoms should we be looking for? And do we also look to their teammates to help with that buddy system to spot maybe some of the symptoms you're going to discuss?
Yeah, good question. I mean, the challenge with concussions is the symptoms can be subtle, and they're not the same for each person. Only 10% of concussions are associated with loss of consciousness, 10% or less. So, and that's kind of a misconception. People think you have to have blacked out to be diagnosed with a concussion, and 90% of the time that's not the case. The most common symptom is a headache. About 75% will report a headache, but not always. And sometimes the symptoms don't show up right away. Kids may look fine, and for the most part, after a concussion, everyone looks fine. But if a teammate notices that they're stumbling a little, they look a little glassy-eyed, they may not be executing the play the way they normally would, they look a little confused, or if the teammate hears the athlete say, oh, you know, I just don't feel right. Doesn't necessarily have to be specific, especially after a hit. They should be advised to sit out and seek attention from a medical provider, or at least talk to their parent about their symptoms.
When in doubt, sit it out, right?
Exactly.
So when do we bring our child to the doctor? And then when can they, and I'm not even as concerned with return to play. I mean, the kids would, but as a parent, we're like, there's no way you're going back out on that field. But what about the things like school? And we've even heard some things about video games, reading, homework. You know, give us some tips about those kinds of things and what a parent is to do post-concussion.
Sure. Well, right away, the child should rest from any physical or even cognitive activities. And what we mean by cognitive is any schoolwork or academics. Whether or not they need to be seen right away depends on their symptoms. I think everyone who's suspected of having a concussion should see their pediatrician or their primary care provider. Some, though, if the symptoms are extremely severe or are getting progressively worse, they need to be seen urgently in an emergency room. But all children and teens should eventually see their primary care provider, who can provide guidance on those things, such as when to return to play, when to return to the classroom. But immediately, the child should rest from those activities. Now, things like video games, certainly that can oftentimes make symptoms worse. So if that is the case, they should rest from screens, reading on a computer screen or playing video games. Oftentimes, TV is not so over-stimulating and doesn't trigger symptoms. We don't try to put the child in a cocoon where they're in a black room and they can't do anything to entertain themselves. I think a lot of times kids can tolerate watching a little bit TV to pass the time after an injury like this.
I'm sure they're not going to mind that, oh, no, you shouldn't do homework or go to school
right.
for a day or two. But no, you can't play. You can play video games. Go ahead. You know, you can watch TV. What about over-the-counter medications, like if they've got a headache? Can we give them Tylenol and not ibuprofen? What do we do to help them with some of these symptoms while they get through it?
Sure. So in the immediate period, the first, say, 48, 72 hours after an injury, head injury, you really shouldn't be giving any of those medications. And for a couple reasons, you want to be able to follow the headache and make sure if it's getting progressively worse, that's a sign that they need to be evaluated. But also medicines like ibuprofen can promote bleeding. And so if there is a small bleed in the head, you may be making that worse by giving them ibuprofen. So we advise none of those medicines in the immediate period. Close monitoring of the symptoms is required. And if they have a severe headache, resting in a quiet, dark room tends to be more effective than those medicines anyway. They don't tend to help very much for concussion headaches. Later on in the course, if the child is still having headaches after, say, 2-3 weeks, sometimes they can take those medicines here and there, but the other thing to be aware of is taking those on a regular basis a couple times a day for many days in a row can cause rebound headaches when you try to come off of those medicines. So we really try to caution parents not to overuse those medications.
And when can we send them back to school? When do we know that it's fine, you know, for them to go back?
I think once their symptoms are getting better and they can tolerate the environment outside of the house, because the school environment can be a bit chaotic. They're noisy areas and lots of visual stimulation. As soon as they can tolerate that without worsening of symptoms and are able to do a little bit of reading without worsening symptoms, they can try. Even a partial day of school is a good way to start to test the waters and see if it makes the symptoms worse. If it makes it much, much worse, then they're not ready yet. But if they tolerate that, no problem, then they can gradually increase the time spent there and the amount of work they're doing.
In just the last minute, if you would, Dr. Labella, give us your best advice for concussion. Preventing concussion would be great, or dealing with it once it happens, and what you want parents to know.
Well, the best prevention is prompt treatment and recognition of the concussion and making sure the person gets adequate rest and isn't allowed to continue playing sports where they could be subjected to another blow to the head on top of the current concussion. So I think educating your child about what to look for and making sure that they're in a league or on a team where the rules are followed and there's good coaching and good officiating.
I think that that's so important. And, you know, parents, just know these signs and symptoms and get your children to the doctor, because that's always sort of the best defense. Let your pediatrician help you and give your child the rest that they need. And hopefully you won't see concussion too much. This is Melanie Cole. You're listening to Healthy Children with our experts from the American Academy of Pediatrics. Thanks for listening and stay well.